First book of Revelation. Amen. The Lord will help us. Great God. Chapter number 4. Very familiar scriptures here. Amen. We'll start at verse number 2. Revelation 4 and 2. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne.
Yes.
And he that was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Verse number 5, then we'll go to the book of Isaiah. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Amen. Part of my text verse here will come out of Isaiah, but it'll be likened into verse number 2. And immediately I was in the spirit. John was on that Isle of Patmos, and he got caught up in the spirit. And I was in the spirit, he said, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and the one sat on the throne. Praise God. And it's talking about how holy and how majestic God was. Amen.
Right.
And then Isaiah chapter number 6, starting at verse number 1, the Lord would help us. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a what? Amen. I never saw this before. John, the Revelator, said, I looked into heaven and I saw God sitting on a throne.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. We'll get into this in a moment. I want to get the cart before the horse, but, amen, John spoke and said, I seen them angels and they had 6 wings. With twain they did cover their face, with twain they did cover their feet,
yeah,
and with twain they did fly. 6 wings. Isaiah saw the Lord upon the throne and he saw angels with 6 wings.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. And in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. And where was he?
High.
High and lifted up. Praise the Lord. And his train filled the temple. Amen. And it stood the seraphims. Each one had what? 6 wings. With 20 did cover his face. With 20 did cover his feet. With 20 did fly. One cried unto the other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Amen. This is all good, but I'm going to have to quit right here. Verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people, amen, of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. If the Lord would help us for just a few moments tonight, amen, I'd like to pull something out of these scriptures right here. Amen. Do you know God as he truly is? Do you know him as he truly is? Amen. I'm not being negative here tonight, but I feel like our generation does not know God like generations in the past has known God. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. I want you to notice Uzziah was a greatly revered king, amen, of Judah. And he did many great things, and he was a great king that ruled over God's people. And can you imagine when a man of his stature, a great man like King Uzziah, had reigned and done great things for the nations for years? Amen. And now King Uzziah had died. Praise God. That's all he said. In the year King Uzziah died, that was enough. Amen. We see what's happening, as Brother Tom said, from a microscopic germ. Amen. It shut the world down. It shut the country down. People's in panic. Amen. I never seen a time like this. We may never see a time like this again in our life. They say this is a 100-year, amen, event that we're experiencing right now. Well, that's what they was experiencing in the year that King Uzziah died. Amen. The outlook, when people looked around, down. Everybody was panicking. Everybody was in fear. Amen. What are we going to do? The king's dead. Amen. How are we going to make it? Everybody was afraid. Amen. Hey, God, will the economy go on? Amen. Are we going to be able to dig up out of this pit that we're in? Are we ever going to be able to make it? Everybody's outlook, amen, was very grim. Amen. As they looked around them, they said, there's no way we can come out of this. Amen. Because King Uzziah is gone. Amen. King Uzziah is dead. Hallelujah. But, oh, amen. I don't want to preach on the outlook here tonight. I'd like to preach on Isaiah's uplook. Amen. But the Bible said that Isaiah looked up and he saw the Lord. Where was he at? He was high and lifted up and he was still on the throne. Let me tell you something. When Uzziah died, and he wasn't alive no more, and the outlook was very grim, and nobody had any hope, Isaiah said, I still saw the Lord. He was in the same place he'd always been. He was high, and he was lifted up. He was still sitting on the throne, and the world was still ticking, and the atlas was still turning, and God was still in control. Even in a time that Uzziah had died, God was still there. God was still sitting on his throne. I'd like to ask us tonight, do you really know God? Amen. Do you really know him for who he truly is? Amen. Praise God. Amen. I look. I feel like I was 1987. I don't remember. I've been doing a lot of reading here lately. But in 87, I'd have been 5 years old. And they call 1987 Black Monday. Amen. When the economy shut down in 1987. Amen. And but most people's comparing to what we're experiencing to 1987 and also the 1929/30. Amen. Stock market crash when unemployment rate was nearly 20%. Whatever, I can't even say this secretary's name, Mewson or whatever his name is. Amen. He's proclaiming that the unemployment rate is probably, we'll get up to 20%, if not exceed 20%, because the airlines are shutting down, the cruises are shutting down, our restaurants are shutting down, everything's shutting down across the country that employs thousands upon top of thousands of employees, amen. And they said unemployment rate will probably hit or maybe exceed 20%, amen. And they said if it does, we've never seen a day like that, not even in the 29-30 stock market crash. Did this country get to 20% unemployment? Amen. I mean, everywhere you read, hey God, everywhere we look, amen, it's not a very good outlook. But thank God, we got to be like Isaiah. We can't look out. We can't look around us at all the doom and gloom. Hey God, last time I checked, God's still alive. Last time I checked, I still seen the Lord, and he was high and he was lifted up. He was still sitting on the throne, and he said, my eyes are not dim that they can't see you. My eyes are not heavy that they can't hear. My ears are open unto the cry, amen, of my people. And I believe God still answers prayer. I believe God still helps his people, even in a dim time, even in a gloomy time. I believe God is still on the throne. Amen. Praise God. Oh, but you know what? We come through the 30s. Hey, amen. The 40s came. Looked like Hitler. Hey, God. Amen. Was going to take the world over. Hallelujah. And you know the story there. I don't have to be a historian here tonight. Amen. Hitler really come on strong. Amen. Looked like maybe going to take the world over. But guess what? America come to the, amen, rise again. Hallelujah. Hey, God. I'd just like to stop real quick. I know this ain't spiritual. It's maybe a little bit more carnal, but I thank God, amen, that I'm a United States citizen, amen. I thank God I'm still part of the greatest land upon this nation, maybe besides Israel, hallelujah. But hey, I come to tell us right here tonight, we've always come to the occasion, amen. But you know what? In the stock market crash, it drew me into God in the 40s, amen, when mamas were sending their boys off in the ship over across the seas. Maybe they'd never see them again. It drawn America to their knees. And we really knew who God was. I come to tell us, hey, is it not God trying to get us on our knees? Is it not God trying to get us
us to look to him another time and get America to realize you can't make it on your own. You can't make it through your own prosperity, but it's going to take God. We got to learn to know God on a personal basis. Greg, help us, Lord, to know him. Amen.
Naturally, amen, before all that stuff really got blown out of proportion, the last week, amen, who would have ever thought you came about toilet paper? We were literally down to two rows of toilet paper. Amen. Woo! We've had a little bit in Walmart the other day, so we got up early. They said they told us if you come over at Sam's early, you might be able to find some. We got over when the doors opened this morning. Amen. No toilet paper. No paper towels. No hamburger meat. You can't hardly find a piece of meat nowhere. Hey, God. I mean, it's dirty sometimes if you look out. Amen. That's what I'm trying to get us to see tonight. When you look outward, amen, it's awful gloomy. And I told Michelle, I said, what are we going to do? Amen. If you can't even find a piece of meat to buy. And that's when I felt like the Lord pricked my heart. The same thing. Men's always done. They've had to trust God. Amen. We've had to buckle down and pray and get some faith and get some stamina and rise to the occasion and learn to know who God is. I said, God wants us to learn who he is. Amen. Great God. A.W. Tozer said, no religion has ever been greater than its idea of who God is. And I love that. Hallelujah. What's your idea of who God is? Scripture gives us these two remarkable visions that I, amen, read to us here tonight. Praise God. Amen. Isaiah talked about how they seen the Lord on the throne high and lifted up. John said, I was in the spirit, and behold, I looked up into heaven, and there sat God on his throne. Amen. Hey, God. Isaiah reported and said that when he spoke, even the posts that were there shook. Amen. At the sound of his voice, and the house was filled with smoke. Let me tell you something. They have these, amen, I don't know what you say, charismatic services. I seen somebody sent me a picture or something the other day. Said, we're having church at home. And they had some kind of smoke there at the house. That's what these carnal churches do. They turn on the fog machine and they get it foggy. And let me tell you something, when God was in the house, there was no fake fog. God's glory filled that house. And John said, I've seen his glory. And it filled that place. And when he spoke, amen, the posts that were there, they began to tremble and they begin to shake. Hey, God in heaven. Isaiah said, amen, and the prophet cried out, woe is me, for I am unclean. Behold, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Hey, God, both men, amen, saw God and who he really was. Was Isaiah a regular old sinner out running around? No. Isaiah, I believe, was a righteous man. I believe Isaiah was a good man. But when he came into contact of the glory and the presence of God, he said, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm unworthy. I'm undone. Oh, amen. Let me tell you something. That's the way me and you will be when we get in his presence. It won't be how big I am. I've heard people say, when I see God, I tell him this. Let me tell you something. John the Revelator laid his head on the bosom of Christ and heard Jesus' heartbeat. But when he faced him, amen, the Bible said he fell down as a man dead. Hey, God, that's how holy God is. Isaiah said, when I got in his presence, I said, whoa, I'm an unclean man. Thank God, in the midst of that throne and round about the throne, thank God, he's a holy God. Woo! As you study the Bible, you will become aware that one of the sins that God, I believe, hates the most is idolatry. Amen. What is idolatry? Well, idolatry is the worship of idols. Amen. But I believe we can commit Idolatry. When we don't have an idol sitting over in the corner of our house. Amen. All idolatry needs is an improper thinking in the mind. Hey God. Amen. Have a wrong perception of who God really is. Amen. Oh yes. We can have in our mind, well, we like to measure how big God is according to how big our needs are. He's way bigger than that. Let me tell you that right now. And somebody said, I don't know if he's able or not. He didn't meet my needs. He didn't do this for me. He didn't do that for me. Great God, if God never does nothing for me the rest of my life, I come to praise the Holy God. If God never answers another one of my prayers, I come to tell you, He's a God that's able to make something out of nothing. I said, if He never, ever does anything, He saved my soul, and He pulled me out of the grips of hell, and He set my feet on a solid rock, and I've got heaven to gain and hell to shun. I said, He's a good God. You can't measure how big God is according to your need. Amen. Woo! Oh, yes. Hey, you know that? Psalms 50:21. Write it down. Look at it later. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself. God said, that's the problem I got with you. You thought I'm like you, and I ain't like you. Hey, God. Woo! Hey, man. Aren't you glad God's not like us? Hey. Aren't you glad God don't have to go to plan B? Hey, God. Aren't you glad God don't sit around and look at the world and worry and fret and sweat and shake His hands? Hey, God. And fear and tremble. I'm glad God's not like me. God said, that's a problem. Amen. You think I'm like you. Right. Idolatry also can see us some thoughts about God that are unworthy of who God really is. Paul gave us, amen, teaching. He said, when they knew God, Romans 1:21, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and they became foolish, and their foolish heart was darkened. Amen, because they didn't worship me for who I really am. Let me tell you something, He's a mighty God. Hey, God. I said, He's a mighty God. Perhaps the most important question, amen, we will ever ask ourselves, amen, is what is God like? Your relationship to Him will stem largely from your conclusion you have drawn about who He really is. What is His attributes? If your thinking is shallow of God, then your life will be shallow. If your mental image of God is fuzzy, then your theology will be fuzzy. If your conclusions are faulty, then your commitment to God will be faulty. If your, hey, you cannot rise above your answer to that question, who is God really? Who is He? What does He mean to me? If you think He's just some little God, I was having my measuring tape, Brother Don Rich preached years ago. He pulled out that measuring tape to about a foot long. How big is your God? Hey God, and He took it out, and He took it out, and finally He stretched it out as far as He could, and that thing bent, flopped over, and finally took that ruler, and He throwed it away. He said, get rid of that measuring device. You can't measure how big God is. How big is He really? I tell you how big He is. He's able to meet every need. He's able to be your all in all. Hey God, He's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He's a rose of Sharon. He's a bright and the morning star. I come to tell you, church, He is a mighty God. Woo! I said He's a mighty God. Woo! We gotta move on here. Perhaps the most important question, amen, we will ask ourselves, who is God really in our life? Woo! How about Job?
Come on. Jesus.
Come on.
Look at Job.
Yes.
That's a catastrophe Job went through.
Yeah.
I'll hit this briefly and move on. He lost his children. Let me tell you something. That, my friend, would be a horrible day. Yeah. Amen. Not only lost one of them, but lost them all.
Yeah.
Oh, all of a sudden he lost his wealth. He lost his health. He lost his cattle, his sheep, his oxen, his cattle. Everything he lost. Whew. Hallelujah. Amen. Job said, I think I know who God is. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. That would take you the best of the best down right there. That would take them down. But Job said, I think I know who God is. And if I know God, then God's not going to leave me to dry. Woo! And then finally lost his companion. He lost his wife. Amen. She said, Job, I tell you, the best thing you can do is curse your God. Lay up over there somewhere and give up and die. We've lost everything we've ever had. What are we going to do now? I tell you what Job said. Naked came I into this world, and naked shall I return thither. I know I ain't got my money. I know I ain't got my children. I know I ain't got my cattle. I know I ain't got my possessions. But I thank God he gave it to me long as I had it. I was blessed as long as I had it. Thank God. And I know God knows what's best for me. But thank God. Get over to the last of the book of Job. And the Bible said that God turned it around for Job. Why did he do it? Because Job knew who God was. His faith wasn't in possessions. His faith wasn't in buildings. His faith wasn't in people. His faith was in God. And Job said, I know who God is. Do you know who he is? Woo! Do you really know him?
Jesus.
Great God. Isaiah said, woe is me, I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. Much church thinking today revolves around personal experience, personal problems, personal conceptions, who we think God is. Woo! The last time I read Psalms 46 and 10 was just a few moments ago. Amen. Hey, God. I still read that it says, be still and know that I am God. Hey, God. Amen. Hey, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. God said, be still and know that I am God. Amen. Perhaps it requires too much of us. Hey, God, the vision that Isaiah had of God, it shook him to his innermost, and he cried, woe is me, I'm undone, I'm unclean. Isaiah realized perhaps for the first time in his life how desperately he needed a cleansing in order to stand in the presence of a marvelous God. Hey, God. Then all of a sudden then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Amen. Great God, there can never be access to God and God's majesty until we're purged, until we get the old man out of the way, and we know God like Isaiah did. Hallelujah. He will not negotiate. Amen. Amen. With us. Amen. Nor will. Amen. And desire on that subject until we get cleansed. Amen. You got to be cleansed.
Lord.
To get in his presence.
Right.
Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
The only yardstick of holiness God accepts, amen, is the one he is by his own existence. For God is holy. Amen. The adulterer, man, the adulteress, when he comes to God, what does he do? He's got to quit his adultery.
Right.
Woo! When the liar comes to God, he's going to quit his lying. When the drunkard comes to God, he'll quit his drinking. Amen. Isaiah wasn't even a man of that. He was a righteous man. But he saw his imperfections when he got in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Hey God, I come to tell us, church, when we get in his presence, he'll show us where we need to mark up at. Amen. That is a direct result, amen, of where we stand with God and what we believe God is. If you think you can live like the world and have the presence of God, then you're diminishing who God is. He's a holy God. And if we're going to get to God, we got to live holy. Isaiah realized in an instant, the very moment that he saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, that he was out of his own league, that he could not stay in the light of that holiness unless he was divinely touched. And that's when the angel came with that tongue, amen, and that coal of fire off the altar. Is it possible that we accept lower views of who God is because we don't want to mark up? Come on now. We're living in a society that has diminished who God is. Who is God really? Is he just some big man upstairs that everybody calls him? He ain't the big man upstairs. He's great God Jehovah of all the universe. He ain't just some big man floating around. He's my God. Amen. I said he's the great God of all the universe. That's who God is. He's not just up there watching over, amen, sinners living an ungodly life. And then they nonchalantly say, I'm looking to the big man. You better be looking to a holy God. Hey, God, that's going to judge you in eternity one day. Woo! We got to move on here. Amen. Isaiah was a pillar of his community. He was a righteous man, but when he got in the presence of God, amen, he realized that the creator of the universe, the very God that created all, is and is a mighty, mighty, holy, holy. Yes. Amen. Isaiah 6, a couple verses down. When Isaiah said, I've seen the Lord high and lifted up, his train filled the temple and all that, and then he said, the angels were crying, holy, holy, holy. Revelation, John the Revelator was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. When God spoke, the post did tremble. Amen. And he went on to say, and the angels that were gathered around were crying, holy, holy, holy. So that lets us know the two visions, that two different men, Isaiah and John, amen, saw Jesus sitting on the throne, and they both seen the angels crying, holy, holy, holy. And lets us know God is a holy God. Compared to God's righteousness, amen, there is none righteous, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. None that understands, none that do good. That's why we got to have a fear and we got to have an understanding of who God is. Yes. Woo. Because if you really know God, you'll know your inadequacy without him. We got to have him, church. You're nothing. When Isaiah got in his presence, he saw how he needed God. Well, I thought I had it. I thought I had it the way I needed it. But Isaiah said, I'm undone. I'm unclean. I need you, Lord. And thank God that angel come and touched his lips with that coal of fire from off the altar. And Isaiah preached like he never preached in all of his life. Amen. Go to Isaiah chapter number 1. And you'll find the first message that Isaiah preached. And what a message it was. Hey, God. Why would God want Isaiah? Amen. When he had those magnificent angels to his side, why would he want Isaiah to preach? Hey, God. I tell you why he wanted him to preach. He was chosen to preach repentance to Jerusalem and prophesy to this nation because God knew Isaiah would do so as no angel in all of heaven could do. Only a person who had seen, hey God, the chasm between man and God. Isaiah knew what it was like to feel like he was far away from God. Angels have never experienced that because they're angelic beings. Hey God, but Isaiah knew what it was like to feel that loneliness, to feel that, amen, sinfulness bearing down on him. Amen. And God said, Isaiah, would you go preach? And Isaiah preached like no angel could ever preach. He rests for the souls of men. Amen. That's why God called him. Let me read to you his first sermon. Isaiah chapter number 1, verse number 3. The captain, never mind. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, oh, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. Isaiah is crying to the people of Israel, turn, amen, turn, because he knew what it was like to feel the weight of sin bearing down on him. Hey, God, amen. All the angels adoring heaven could not have preached like Isaiah did. And when he realized just who and what God truly was and is, he could never be the same man again. Amen. Get on down here. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 1. Amen. Starting at verse number 16, he says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Turn from your wicked ways, he's telling them. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Listen, verse number 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah said, come to the, amen, fountain flowing, great God, with blood. Hey, he's saying, why don't you come? I know a place that can set you free. Do you know God like that? Stand with me in this house tonight. I wonder if America knows a God like that. I don't know, church. I told you Thursday night. I don't know what the future holds. If the governor shut Kentucky down, churches, I don't think they've shut the state down. Didn't they just shut the Ohio state down today?
Yeah.
Shut the state of Ohio down today. I told Michelle, I'm not a doom and gloom kind of guy. I figure by this week, or possibly next week, to me would be a long time, probably this week, they're going to shut the country down. Are we going to be able to make it?
Come on.
Do we know God? Let me tell you something. I don't want to get this coronavirus. I don't want nobody in this church to get the coronavirus. Amen. I wish it wasn't in the world. I wish it wasn't in our country.
Yeah.
We all do.
Yeah.
I tell you, above that, and I know that's high on the priority, that's all we hear and it's all that's anywhere. But above that, I tell you, church, we better know who God is.
You're right.
I wonder if it wouldn't be a good time for the Lord to come back. People's looking for the corona bug instead of Jesus.
That's right.
I know it's dangerous. I'm not belittling this. I don't keep up with news near like some of you, but Italy's been wiped out over it.
Yeah.
Almost 1,000 a day is dying over there.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild. Who would have ever thought that? 100 new cases today in Ohio. Shut the state down. I don't know them all. New York shut down. California shut down. Right now, one place I read said a third of the nation. I never thought of that. California, New York,
Illinois,
and Ohio, it's a third of the people in the country shut down.
Kentucky.
They estimate 60% of Americans are going to get this coronavirus. We're living in bad times, church. Is this from God? You know, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, God wants to kill people and all that kind of stuff. I tell you what, God's waking them up.
You're right.
God's trying to shake people.
Yep.
We may not, I don't know. I do not know if we're going to be able to have church next Thursday. That's why I tried to preach tonight like it's my last service.
Come on, brother.
Amen. Great God. I think it's a good practice to preach every night like it's your last sermon. Preach every night. This might be my last time to preach. Lord, even so, come quickly.
Yeah.
You know what I pray? I want you to help me pray. I want this church. I believe churches across America is praying. Lord, bring America to her knees again. Bring America back to where she fears God again. I started this message off today, just a moment ago, starting with our forefathers feared God. They got away from God, stock market crash, pulled this place together.
Yeah.
Amen. Great God, 1940s come around,
America's getting cold. Flapper generation began to come on, and all that stuff started hitting. What happened? World War broke out. America had to unite, come together again. Amen. Great God. I tell you, I'm not an old person at all, but I believe America, the last probably 20 years or so. Amen. I know as I was a boy, I'm 30, I just turned 38. Amen. 38 years old. Great God. Amen. So I've lived about 18 years of my school years, and now I've lived about 18 years of my adult years. So I'm about half child and half adult here. Amen. And that's where I stand with you tonight. I'll tell you, church, when I was a child, you didn't hear about a man getting a man or a woman getting a woman's hand, walking down, getting married in a church. You didn't hear about, amen, all the ungodliness that's come about. Amen, all the homosexuality movement, LGBTQRST. They're going to have every alphabet for it, so we will. Hey, God, I come to tell us, you didn't hear about all this crazy stuff when I was a kid. America's away from God. Do we really know who God is? And the tabling God is trying to wake us up and show us who He is. Who is God? Who do you think He is? He's a God of all the universe.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Oh.
Yes, Lord.
Woo!
Yes, Lord.
I quit using that term a long time ago. You might use it. I don't mean to bust your bubble, but He's more than the big man upstairs.
Yes, He is.
Amen. Oh. He's a God of all the universe. Church, we better pray. I've got a burden on my heart. We better pray. We better figure out who God is.
Amen.
I told you Thursday night, it bothers me. It worries my soul. Amen. You say, somebody said, oh, you're the only church around here. Ain't shutting down. No, it ain't that. I don't think I'm better than nobody. But I see souls that need God. Somebody said, you mean you can't shut a church down for 2 weeks and people can't stay safe? Some people can't hardly stay safe from week to week. Much less 2 weeks. We shut our church down for 2 weeks. And then this pandemic hits, worse than it ever has. And then they shut you down for another month or so. And then you got 2 months. I see a disaster ahead. The government don't care about your church. Somebody say, you ain't doing what the government says. Amen. Hey, God, I can't help that. Amen. A lot of people ain't doing what the government says. I don't want to spread germs. I don't want to get sick. I don't want you or my family and nobody else to. But thank God, amen, our souls are more important than our bodies.
Do we know who God is?
Let's find an altar here tonight. I preach to you in my heart. I want to know who God is. Oh, God, I want to know who you are, Lord. America, you know who God is. You've lost your perception of who God is. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Yes, I saw the Lord. Amen.